We usually start out with some words of Chochmah from Rabbeinu Yonah in many other areas, but the various different perushim of Rabbeinu Yonah that he has written, whether it's the Perush HaMishle, in the Sechtes Ovis, of course, Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah, and so on. On the Pasuk in Parshas Vayakhel, regarding the Binyan HaMishkan, the Pasuk says, V'chol Chacham Lev Bochem Yevoyu V'yasu, that those that are wise-hearted people, Chacham Lev, should come forward and contribute their talents in building the Mishkan. Now, usually when you talk about Chochmah, wisdom, Chochmah is something which rests in the brain. Chochmah is seated in the brain. The brain is the seat of Chochmah. And one would tend to ask, what does it mean to be a Chacham Lev? Someone who is a wise-hearted person. Why is Chochmah related to the Lev? It's such a common word. But if we stop to think about it, Chochmah Be'etzim is something that has to do with the Moyach. It has to do with the Seichel, it has to do with one's brain. And yet we find the Pasuk many times referring to a person who possesses wisdom as being a Chacham Lev. In Masechtas Ovis, of course, it says, Ezu Chocham, Haloimid Mikolodo. Who is a Chocham? Who is considered to be a wise man? Someone who is a Loimid Mikolodom, who learns from everyone and anyone. A person who is ready to learn from anyone, that's called a Chocham. And the question is, one would think that this kind of an answer would be better fitting if the question was, Ezehu Talmud, who is considered to be a real Talmud? Well, a real Talmud is someone who learns from anyone. That's probably the highest level of being a Talmud. A Talmud is someone who learns from anyone. But that wasn't the question. The question was, Ezehu Chocham. And to that, the answer is, Haloimid Mikolodom. That would seem to have more to do with being a Talmud. Someone who's a serious Talmud, a studious Talmud. And yet we're not talking about a Talmud, not talking about a student, we're talking about a Chocham. And what is the definition of a Chocham? Haloimid Mikolodom. What does that mean? So Rav Shach, the Kohen of Rocha, once pointed out, and he said, listen, there are fascinating words, literally fascinating words, that Rabbeinu Yonah says in Masechtas Ovis. Masechtas Ovis, Rabbeinu Yonah says, on this mission, Ezehu Chocham Haloimid Mikolodom. So Rabbeinu Yonah, the following. It's kedai to hear the words and the lashon of Rabbeinu Yonah. And he says as follows. Ki hayedea kol hachochmas. Rabbeinu Yonah tells, after you realize, this is the definition of a Rishon. One of the Gedolei Rishonim, and he says, a person who, in fact, is so knowledgeable. You can have a person who is so knowledgeable that he's a yedea kol hachochmas, which means that he knows all disciplines. He knows all the chochmas. Im einoy oyev chochma, einoy chocham elatipish. That's the allusion. The Yoni says, a chocham is not defined by how much knowledge he has. And we'll explain that also. But listen first to what Rabbi Yoni is telling. The Yoni is telling us the definition of a chocham is not by how much knowledge he possesses. It's yitochen, it's possible that a person can possess knowledge in every area, but if he's not a lover of Chochmah, if he's not an Oyev Chochmah, he's not a Chocham. What is he? All the way to the other end. He's a Tipish. Maybe not a Tipish either. No. Not only he's not a Chocham, it's not enough to say he's not a Chocham. Ben Yonah says, but in fact that he's a Tipish, Acha She'enoy Oyev Chochmah, which is Das. Acha Oyev Oyev. Now listen what he says. What's the flip side? What's the other side? Behene says, but one who loves Chochmah, loving Chochmah means, he says, umisaveleo, and he desires Chochmah. In other words, therefore, he pursues Chochmah. A lover of Chochmah, when one really loves an item or something, he pursues it. He will not rest until he's successful in attaining it. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, one who is an oyev Chochmah, umisaveleo, afal pi she'eino yodei klum, areze Chochmah. Even if he doesn't know anything. It's an incredible notion. It's incredible you say it. Rabbeinu Yonah tells us. Definition of a Chocham has nothing to do with knowing or not knowing. Definition of Chocham is how much love do you have for Chocham. If you have greater love for Chocham, then you are a greater Chocham. If you have less love for Chocham, you're all the more losing and deficient in the area of Chocham. And he goes on to say, because the reason is, because even if you don't know anything, says Rabbeinu Yonah, if you love Chochmah, the fact is, if you love it, you're going to pursue it, you're not going to rest, And sof kol sof, you're going to attain some wisdom. Some level of wisdom you're going to attain. And therefore, Ezu Chacham, going back to the Mishnah, what is a Chacham? And not how much you know. Haloimit Mikolodom, because Haloimit Mikolodom means that he's a lover of Chachamah. Why is someone capable of learning from anyone and everybody? How's it shaykh? It's only because you love Chachamah that much. So every additional piece of wisdom, any extra piece of information is so important to you, is so chashiv to you, that you appreciate it. That's why you're Haloimit Mikolodom. So being Haloimit Mikolodom actually means, shows, defines how much love you have for Chachamah. And if in fact when you have love for Chachamah, that is how you are defined as a Chacham. That is the title of Chacham. Then the title of Chacham is bestowed upon you. He goes on to say, "V'afalpi says she'enu yudei ala dover echad bilvad yilmemen." As a matter of fact, you're going to learn from a person, if a person has knowledge, let's say, in only one area, or only one piece of information, but you don't know it. If you don't know it, you're going to find out from him. That other person knows absolutely nothing, but he knows one thing. And that is one thing that you don't know. You're Aloimit Mikolodom, you're going to go to that person and say, you know, do me a favor. Give me the information or teach me this particular situation. And if you're such a person, such a pursuer of Chachmah, that you're ready to learn from anyone and everyone, that is the one who is called a Chacham. As a matter of fact, Ben Yoni says, down the road, in fact, you will grow into being a Chacham of knowledge as well. Because so in other words, we find out that a Chacham, according to Rabbeinu Yoyne, is not a chacham in seichel, of how much knowledge a person has, because you can know, as we said, you know, all chachmas in the world, and he says you can be a tippish. Now, how do you explain that? The fact is he knows everything. A person, let's say, who bears knowledge in every area, he knows all of shas, he knows all the sciences, he knows all the chachmas. How can you call him a tippish? It's very simple. And this is very interesting how he explains it. Because you can possess all the knowledge in the world, but if you're not a lover of chachmah, then your being is not identified with that Chochmah. For example, you can have, and this would be an extreme example, but then it's related here. There is a common word about, sometimes you say about a person who can know a lot, but it does not translate in any behavior at all. You know, the Chochmah and all the disciplines, all the Chochmah that he has, is merely knowledge, but has nothing to do with the person himself, because it does not act out in any way according to the knowledge that he has. That is called a chamor noises for him. Imagine you have a chamor, so you have a donkey, right? That's filled, right? That's filled with thousands of svarim. Is the chamor a talmid chacham? Well, he has hundreds of svarim on his back. He is carrying chachmah, but he himself is not a chacham. The same thing, let's narrow it down even to a human being. Human being, if you don't love the chachmah, you can have a lot of chachmah. But you and the Chachmah are two separate entities. You just happen to possess Chachmah, no different than a bowl possesses fruit. Now, if you have a bowl that has fruit, the fruit and the bowl are two separate things. Does the fruit bowl become actually a piece of fruit? Of course not. The bowl is a bowl, and the fruit is a fruit. The bowl contains fruit, but the bowl is not a fruit. If you're not a lover of Chachmah, then merely the Chachmah you possess, you contain Chachmah. You contain within yourself Chochmah, but you're not a Chocham. In the same way, no different than a base kibble, a bowl, a basket, is not the same as the contents. It carries the contents. It contains the contents, but it's not the content. You also are not a Chocham. You contain Chochmah, but you yourself are not a Chocham. It's like a chamor carrying a lot of svarim. Or a bookcase is a tam Chocham because it has a lot of svarim. It's containing svarim, but it doesn't have the identity of the sefer itself. That's why, says Rav Shach, Rabbi Yoni says, if you're not a lover of Chochmah, then you and the Chochmah are two separate entities. You're a tippish. You yourself are a tippish. You contain Chochmah, but what are you yourself? You yourself is a tippish. But if you're a lover of Chochmah, then you and the Chochmah, and the Chochmah and the wisdom become integrated. Becomes part of you, like your right arm. Ah, then you're a Chochmah. That's what Rav Shach points out. And that's what Chazal say, therefore, Chacham Leiv. Leiv, of course, that's the heart, that's the essence of the person. To be a Chocham, you have to identify with the Chochmah like the Leiv, which is part of you. It becomes your essence. And that's only if you're a lover of Chochmah, a person, in fact, who loves Chochmah. So that's very interesting and very wonderful words that we hear here from Rabbeinu Yoyne, how Rav Shach really explained what Chacham Leiv means according to the understanding of Rabbeinu Yoyne, the definition of what a Chocham is. Not how much Chochmah you know or possess, but how much you love Chochmah. If you're a lover of Chochmah, that in fact makes you into a Chochem. It's interesting to point out that the time of Chassam Sofer, there's a Sefer called Chutam Shulish, very well-known Sefer, who brings down a lot of episodes in the life of the descendant of Chassam Sofer, that when the Chassam Sofer was still in Dresnitz, that was before Pressburg, he says there came a Bocher to apply to the yeshiva. He was a 17-year-old Bocher. He at that time, by the age of 17, he hardly had any learning background. But not only he did not have a learning background, but in fact he was a very weak Balkishrin. In other words, he had a lot of difficulty understanding even what you tried to teach him. It was very difficult, and once even that he learned something, he would forget it easily as well. So, Pekitzer, he had a weak Zikaron, weak memory. He had a weak Tfisa. He was not able to absorb quickly either. He had difficulties in every area. And when he came to the yeshiva, it was obviously someone that didn't seem to belong there at all. And writes a Sefer Chutam Shulish, Chassam Sofer says, not, I see that this person, he just loves learning. I see the way he came, and the way he begged and he pleaded to be accepted in the yeshiva. He says, I'm going to accept him. So the Talmidim said, Rebbe, but how can you accept someone who absolutely has no background? In addition to not having background, he seems even he doesn't have strong seichel either. So he doesn't have the ability. So where, in which area do you expect him to be matzliach? The Chassam Sofer says, if I see that he has the love of Chochmah, he's pursuing Chochmah, we'll worry about the rest later. And what he did was, he arranged hour per hour to have different Bokhram learning with this particular 70-year-old Bokhram. 1 hour a day, this one would learn, another hour, so this is the way he set up a whole timetable and distributed various hours throughout the day, having someone else learn with him. Came out that they tried to learn with him a Mishnah and he didn't understand it. They went over it 10 times, 15 times, 20 times. Lamaise, they went over and over again. It turns out that after the Bokhram left the yeshiva, a number of years later, they say something like 15 or 20 years later even, Chassam Sofer gets a letter, a shaila, from a dayan regarding a very difficult shaila. Chassam Sofer received shailas from all over the world. And the way this shaila was written was not just a shaila. But if you look in the Shailas HaTshuvos farm, as you see in years past, when a person, those days, even today also, if someone's a Talmud Chochem, when you ask a shaila, you don't ask a shaila, but rather you try to render some of your own opinions possibly, and you're asking the shaila whether you are correct in your reasoning or not. Many times you'd find that in the Shailas HaTshuvos forum that the Meshiv, the responder, would say, Shailas Chochem Chatzit Tshuva, that the one who wrote the shaila, you wrote already half the answer also, because in the shaila you already covered all the areas that have to be entertained. The shaila himself was a big Talmud Chochem, the one who asked the question. So it's only left for the Meshiv, the one who answers, just to really give his decision, which is the right side, which is incorrect, and so on and so forth. So this was a shaila that came, but with all the ins and outs of the shaila were discussed all over Shas Poskim. And Chassam Sofer calls in one of his sons, and he says, I want you to look at this shaila. So what do you think about it? And he didn't show him anything, the signature of the one who wrote the shaila. And he says, I don't know who's sending you the shaila, Chassam Sofer's son said, but I can see from the nature of this way this person asked the question, that he happens to be an Odom Godel Meyoid, a Goyin in his own right, because only a Goyin in his own right would be able to ask the Shaila in such a way, already presenting all of the different options, all of the different ways of understanding, and trying to be by the Shaila. So himself, I want you to know this was a 70-year-old Bocher. The 70-year-old Bocher, that could have easily been rejected, turned out to be an Odom Godel and a Goyin B'Yisrael. It is said, I believe, that he became a Dayan in Mattersdorf, which was also one of the towns that Chassam Sofer himself was prior to Pressburg, where he was a Rav there, this particular person. So there's a lot to be said what Rabbi Yoni says, that the definition of a Chocham is how much desire one has, how much tshuka one has, how much drive one has to learning. That, in fact, is the true definition of a Chocham. Let me just conclude before we start our Shari Tshuva, we have to move on here, that one of the famous incidents is a story which took place in Volozhin. Yeshiva Volozhin, of course, was a place if you had a great Talmid Chacham, you had Bokharim who excelled in learning very, very strongly, very famous Mokim, very famous Yeshiva, produced great Gedoy L'Toyre, Yeshiva Volozhin. And one of the Goyin Ador was known as Reb Isaac Lecharif. His name was Reb Yitzchak Isaac Yeshua, actually. But he was known as a tremendous genius, and he goes down into history, he's known as Reb Isaac Lecharif. Reb Isaac Lecharif had a daughter that was marriageable age, and trying to find a shidduch for his daughter, and he would try to go throughout the various yeshivas, try to find the best bocher that you're able to find, and offer his daughter for that bocher. So that time, yeshivas of Elazhin, that was considered to be the top yeshiva. And there's a lot of bachrim there. Now, how do you find out who is the best bachrim? You can't start and sit and look with every bachrim. I mean, it would be endless. How much time you can spend? So you figure he's going to ask a kasha. He's going to ask a kasha. And whichever bachrim is able to give an answer to that kasha, oh, he's the best bachrim. He's the one that I'm going to pick that's going to be suitable, he says, for my daughter. So it turns out he throws out the kasha in the base of Medrash. And he gives them time, gives them a day, two, three, four. No one comes up with the answer. Well, no one comes up with the answer, so apparently there's no one here that suits me, and no shidduch, nothing. There's no one here. I have to set my sights elsewhere. And Rabbi Zlacharif had the wagon driver, take him back. So, about a half a mile out of town, something like a half a mile, they see that there is a bocher running behind, very, very excited. Rebbe, 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 stop, 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 Rebbe, Rebbe, the kasher, the kasher, the kasher. So Meisel stops, and he goes over to him, and he says to him, the kasher, you mean you have a teretz to the kasher? He says, no, I don't have a teretz, I want to know what the teretz is, you tell me. He says, shidduch, yes, shidduch, but what's the teretz? He said, no shidduch, we didn't know the answer, so of course it's not going to be a shidduch, but I want to know the teretz. He says, you didn't tell us the answer. It's not because of the shidduch. I want to know the answer. Leave me with the answer. He said, this is the one I'm taking. He says, he was the one that became the son-in-law, he says. Not because he knew the answer, of course. It's because he wanted to know the answer. He was the one who pursued and ran after him. This fits very strongly with Rav Yoni says, Eizu chocham aloi b'd mikolodem. That, in fact, becomes the true definition of what a chocham is all about. Okay, so I think we have to move on here and take a look at the Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva here, we are again in Shari Rishon, we are here in Sif Chavov. In Sif Chavov, Rabbi Yoni continues on to tell us the principles, all of the various principles that a Baal Tshuva has to adopt in terms of refining his midos. In the last few segments that we were learning, Rabbi Yoni is focusing on the mid of Hachnoah, of humility. And he goes on to say, V'oid nischayv Baal HaTshuva laKniyah, for another reason, he says, that the Baal HaTshuva becomes mechuyev, becomes obligated in humility. Mipnei shu chayev lehoser minafshoi, because he is mechuyev to remove from himself hamidos, all of the bad midos, shegoyrmois lachtoi, that are the causes for sin, umeoilolois lipshoim, and they are offenses that become enhanced. In other words, there are certain character traits that cause sinning. Rabbi Yoni is telling us, in these few simple words, that a Baal Tshuva, of course, not only takes care of the actual Averis that he was involved with, but a Baal Tshuva has to remove the Shayrish, the root of the problem. The Baal Tshuva has to try to avoid and to clear out of his system any bad midos that will cause, that are catalysts for sinning. One of the main sibois that causes a person to be chayte, Sir Ben Yoyne, is gaiv, as he points out. Therefore, you need hachnoah. Because without hachnoah, if you don't have humility, then you will not be removing the sibba that is goyrim for chet. A Baal Tshuva has to see to it to remove the obstacles that cause him to sin. And therefore, if you don't have humility, then you are opening yourself up to sibbas, to causes. The causes in various situations. So that is the inyan of hachnoah, which Rav Yoni points out. Is the truth is, he says, this is, as we're going to come up soon, coming up right in the next shtickl, where he's going to point out that gaiva is one of the main, besides gaiva being an aveir in its own right, besides gaiva, which he's going to mention also, but gaiva also is a sibbe to spur on for other aveiras as well. And being that we're talking about a Baal Tshuva here especially, so Baal Tshuva has an extra chiv to work on the middah of hachnoah, on the middah of humility, because he has to remove any shayrish, any root that causes and is given for him to sin and to enhance his further behavior of sinning. And in order to be able to remove those obstacles and causes, one needs to confine himself and to work on his midah of anova. Just want to tell you something, that the Kli Yoker, Reb Shlomo Ephraim, of course, Lunchitz, his Yortzeit is in Chodesh Iyar, as the Kli Yoker was nifter in 1619. And the Kli Yoker points out in one of his drushes, actually on the Pasuk in Chumash, in Penulachem Tzfoino, talks about when Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael, after 38 years in the wilderness, right, so then again they find themselves at Har Seir. So the Yidden find themselves at Har Seir. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe to instruct the nation, he says to him, Rav Lochem, Penulachem Tzfoino. In other words, enough of your circling the mountain, Soiv Lochem Sohar, Penulachem Tzfoino means turn yourselves northward. It's time to go northward. Penulachem Tzfoino. So the Kli Yoker writes that the word Tzfoino actually has more than one meaning. The word Tzfoino, of course, literally means Tzfoino means north. But the Kli Yoker says, but the word Tzfoino also means hidden. You know, in the Simonim by the Seder, Tzfoino, the Afikoimen, Tzfoino, because Afikoimen is that which is hidden. It's called Tzfoino. Tzfoino means hidden. Or Tzfnas Paneach, to reveal all that is hidden. Yosef was called Tzfnas Paneach. Tzfoino means to be hidden. Says the Kli Yoker, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to the Yidden, Penu Lachem Tzfoino, he's saying to them, turn inward, Penu Lachem Tzfoino means remain hidden. It means that even, he says, if a Yid is blessed with good fortune, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon him a lot of goodness, he should keep it hidden from the Gentiles, from the Goyim. Kli Yoker points it out already in his time. Kli Yoker points it out and he says that why arouse, he says, the jealousy, he says, and the wrath. And he says that's very similar to the explanation that we find that Yaakov Avinu tells, of course, his sons when he came down, right, when he sent them down to Mitzrayim during the Rov, during the famine, to buy the provisions. And even though Yaakov Avinu and his family, they had plenty to eat, what does Yaakov Avinu say? Lomo Tisro. Yaakov Avinu says Lomo Tisro, which means, why should you make yourselves conspicuous? Why should the Canaanim around you become envious of the prosperous Jews that are in the area? Right? So Lomo Tisro, said the Kli Yoker, the same idea here is also, and he complains, I'm just going to read to you, translated in English, the Kli Yoker complains that the Jews in his own time had the unfortunate habit, he says, of calling attention, he says, to the Jewish homes in exquisite clothing. 1619, that's what was Nifta already. So you're going, still in the 1500s. Right? Main, in the 1500s. He said that the Jews of his time, lavish homes, he writes, exquisite clothing. And he said, people, he says, who had hundreds of guilders, that was the currency, people had hundreds of guilders, he wrote, acted as if they had thousands. They always acted as if they had more. And he says that such flaunting of wealth is painful, he says, to the goyim around you and only causes envy and hatred. Kli Yoker writes this. It's very interesting to point out that in a drasha many, many years ago, Matisyo Solomon, he says, was Mishgiach then the Gateshead Yeshiva in Gateshead. And he brought a thought, he says, from Rabbi Chonon Wasserman. Bachonin said on the subject that Klal Yisrael among the nations, Chazal described how dangerous the situation that we are. It's Se'achaz ben Shivim Zevim. It's one lamb, right, among 70 wolves. So Rabbi Chonin said the analogy or the metaphor that the Jewish people are in danger, always being attacked, is like Se'achaz, like one lamb among Shivim Zevim. He points out that there is an additional message, not only that they be careful, right? Because we're nations in the world are always lurking, trying to find ways, right, to destroy Jews, to attack Jews. But there's another thing, he says. You can imagine if there's a sheep, in fact, he says, among many wolves, and a sheep is out there grazing. He said this sheep would, more than anything, would try, said, to hide behind a rock, would try to hide in order to avoid being seen, he says, by the wolves around it. So Rabbi Chonon point out, he said, certainly, you can imagine that the sheep would not jump all over the place to be able to be seen by all of the wolves, of course, allowing itself to be attacked. So when Chazal says, Rabbi Chonon, that we are Se'achaz ben Shivim Zevim, what Chazal means to say is, the Medrash is telling us how to conduct ourselves when we are living among the nations of the world. It means we should not be calling attention to ourselves, but rather we should behave and live simply and unobtrusively. And this is really what the Golus Complex is about. And this is the Golus Code of Behavior. Penu lachem tzfoino. Remain hidden. And see to it that you're not conspicuous around it. This is all part of Hachnoah, Rabbi said. This is all part of humility. This humility, of course, in many, many ways that it comes out. And this is the Nekudah that, of course, which the Shaar Tshuva is talking about. And this is an idea and a notion which is mentioned all over the place. So now we continue further. Continue the Shari Tshuva. We're now Ois Chof Zayin. He says, I want you to know why humility is so important. Because Hagaiva, if says someone is arrogant, he says, when you have Gaiva, it's Misabeves Kama Averis. It is the cause of many Averis. Someone who's arrogant, he says, Umikberes Yetzalev Odom Olaf. And it's Magbir, and it strengthens, it brings the Yetzahar upon him. In other words, he himself is inciting the Yetzahar upon him. Shenemar, where do you see that? Where do you see that Gaiva is the cause of that? Where is it that Gaiva is the cause of so many Averis? You'll say to yourself, Gaiva is an Aver in its own right. Who said that Gaiva is something that spurs on other Averis? Who says that? Says Rabbeinu Yoyne, says, I'll quote you a Posik, Shenemar. Posik says, very well known Posik in Dvarim Ches, Yudalit. Posik says, V'rom lo v'vecho, that if you will be proud in your heart, V'rom lo v'vecho, you'll raise up your heart, meaning Gaiva. V'rom lo v'vecho, the Posik says, V'shochachtos Hashem alekecho. You will forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it basically means is that Gaiva, therefore, from this posik, what you see, that Gaiva is not merely a root for one typical Aveira. But Gaiva seems to be a root cause for any Aveira. Why? Because the posik says, V'rom lo v'vecho, that as a result of Gaiva, V'shochachtos Hashem alekecho. Well, if you forget Hashem, then you're open to all Aveiras. Cause a man that you're not aware, you don't have Hashem's awareness upon you, then you have no shmir of any kind. You're not protected of any kind. You don't even have motivation to protect yourself. So if we're told in the pasuk that v'rom lo v'vecho v'shochachtos Hashem alekecho, once it's v'shochachtos Hashem alekecho, then of course you're open to any aveira. So that's what we see from the pasuk. So merely you're going to be sinning. That is the geirim. Hagave misabeves kam aveiras. V'nemar also, there's another pasuk. There's another pasuk which is the Mishle. The pasuk says the Mishle. Rumei na'im urechav leiv means someone who is a Rumenayim. Someone who has haughty eyes. Gaivadig eyes. Somebody who is a Rumenayim. A person who has arrogant eyes. Urachav leiv. And he has a proud heart. Says the posuk as follows. Nir Rishoyim Chatos. It means they are the plotting of the Rishoyim. In other words, the plotting of Rishoyim are through the Gaive, which is in their eyes and in their heart. That is what causes Rishoyim to plot. And is a sin. Chatos, it's a sin. The Pasuk says, again, Rumei Na'im, Rechav Levov, Nir Rishoyim. That is really the plotting of the Rishoyim. The plotting of the Rishoyim is due to Rumei Na'im. Having, as we said, the arrogance in the eyes, and having the proudness of the heart. Comes here, the Shari Tshuva, and says, you know, the word Nir also has another meaning. Nir does not only mean to plot, but the word nir, of course, means a plowed piece of land. We find in Masechet Bava Kama, lichicha niroi. If a person, for example, is a mazik, he lit a fire, and was not careful of watching that fire goes on, and this fire tends to move, as it always does, and moves from his property into the neighbor's property, and it burns down his plowed field. The Gemara says, lichicha means the fire consumed, lichicha niroi. The other person's plowed field, niroi. So nir means a plowed field. So Ben Yoyne says the word nir also here means something that is plowed. What is being plowed? So he says, listen, what does a plowed field mean? Plowed field means is when a person, a farmer, plows his field, he's preparing the field in order to be able to have things grow out of it. That's what plowing means. Plowing means you're being machshir the field, you are preparing the field to allow. After a while, you're going to be sowing, you're going to be planting, and as a result, things are going to grow out. So plowing is the precursor. Plowing is the hachone. Plowing is the preparation for something, to allow something to grow out. You can also plow your heart. You plow into your heart to cause things coming out. Now sometimes good things can grow out of your heart, and sometimes bad things grow out of your heart, depending what kind of plowing you're doing. So Rabbeinu Yoyne says as follows. Let's take a look at the word near. So he says, Pirish. He says, you know what the Posik means? Because the Posik begins, Rumei Na'im. Posik starts out with Gaive. Gaive plows a furrow in your heart to cause all types of bad hashchoses to grow out. What will grow out of your heart is all types of bad character traits. All types of averis. As he goes on to say, Hagaive near harishoy. Gaive is really the furrow that Rishoyim, that the wicked, have caused, ki mimeno, because through the Gaive, Yifru hachatoyim. The chatoyim, the sins was sprout forth. The same way that when you plow a field, right? So vegetation will plow forth, will sprout forth, will grow out. So the same thing he says with gaiva. Gaiva also plows your system, plows your inner system, allowing chatoyim to grow out. And he goes on. Kasher nemar, as the Pasuk said, mentioned before, v'rom lo v'vecho v'shachachto. Ben Yoni goes on further and he says, v'nemar. The Pasuk in Tehillim as well. Pasuk in Tehillim says, b'gavas roshe yidlak oni. The Pasuk says, b'gavas roshe, that it is through the gaiva of the roshe yidlak oni, he hunts the poor. But what do you see from this Pasuk, from the structure of this Pasuk? We see here that gaiva is the sibbe, is the special sibbe, the special cause that causes the rosha to pursue and to hunt down and to cause ill to the oni, to the poor man. The Pasuk says it's the gaiva of the rosha. Pasuk doesn't point to any other particular area within the rosha. Rosha is a rosha. Rosha is a rosha in many ways. But the Pasuk points out it's the gaiva of the rosha. Ben Yoni is very quick to notice that. Begavas rosha yidlak oni. It's because of the gaiva element. Rosha has many bad elements as well. But the Pasuk emphasizes begavas rosha. It's because of his arrogance. Because of his gaiva, yidlak oni, that's why he pursues the oni. He's raided the oni. Because of his gaiva. More than that, you see, it doesn't stop. It's going on to show you where many references in different areas, what gaiva leads to. Venemra, then again, there's a Pasuk in Tehillim as well, further. Lamed Aleph, the Pasuk says, Hadoivrois al tzadik osok. The Pasuk says, Hadoivrois al tzadik osok, begaiva. The Pasuk says, the Rosha, who speaks on the tzadik, Rishoyim always like to slander tzadikim. Because after all, they're envious that these are tzadikim, and they are Rishoyim. So what does the Rosha try to do? Instead of the Rosha doing tshuva, he becoming a tzaddik too, what he does is, he slanders the tzaddik. Ah, you think he's such a tzaddik, he's not better than I am, and so on and so forth. This is the derech of Rishoyim. So the Rosha of the Pasuk is, the word osok, by the way, is many perushim. Rashi in Tehillim brings a number of perushim. One of the perushim, osok, means falsehood. Which means, hadoivrois al tzaddik osok. They speak falsehood about the tzaddik. Hadoivrois al tzaddik, he's talking about lips. The telamnu. So begins the Pasuk. Let the lips of the Shakronim be closed, locked. Right? They should become stifled. Because those lips, what kind of lips? These are lips, hadoivrois al tzadik. They speak against the tzadik, osok. They speak falsehood. And what does the Pasuk say? Begaive. It's done with arrogance. So here again we see that gaive is the sib of Loshon Hara. So this is another area, another avera that we find. That gaiva leads to, gaiva brings to. The Ne'emar, and now there's a Pasuk in Yecheskel as well. Ben Yoni goes on to show us. Pasuk in Yecheskel tells us, it says, Kinosnu chitisom be'eretz chayim. It talks about people who instill their fear, they instill terror into the land of life. That is, you have people that could have lived quite well. But you know what? But there's always people out there who are terrorizing them. But the Pasuk in particular happens to be speaking about, you have leaders of the community, the power that they have, being that they are leaders, it goes to their heads. And meaning that it goes into their heads, there's such a thing as we find in Chazal, they are matl eimo al hatzibur. Being that they are in the position of power, so therefore now they use it for themselves, to ingratiate themselves. And in the middle they are matl eimo, they instill fear on the people, on the public. Now sometimes it's l'shem shomayim. Because otherwise the people may stray in a certain area, and then they have to control the tzibur. But someone who is a matal eimal tzibur shloi l'shem shemayim, he's a matal eimal tzibur shloi l'shem shemayim, that is being indicted, these people are being indicted, and the Pasuk is saying, kinosnu chitisam, chitisam means their fear, their terror, that they are instilling their terror, beretz chayim, in the land of the living. So they are causing, destroying the life, the comfort of life, in the sriva, in the area which is around them. That again, that's because of their gaiva. It's because of the gaiva, this is what they are doing to the people and to the public around them. And therefore goes on, the Shaar Tshuva to say, so he pointed out that the Pasuk says near, again, the Pasuk says near. The Pasuk says, Rumei Naim, I'm going back to the beginning, right? Rumei Naim, Rechav Lev, near Rishoyim. If you have gaiva, gaiva is really a plowing, it's a certain type of a plowing, but it's a negative plowing within the heart of the Rosha. It's a negative plowing. And he points out, the comparison, the analogy to plowing, The same way that a farmer, men, right? When they are working in the fields, they're tilling the soil. So in the same way when people are making a furrow, a line in the ground, that's how they're plowing. Why are they doing that? They're making an ear, they're making a furrow, kidei lifrois boi hazora, in order to cause the zera, the seeds, right? In order to sprout. And then velesoif roif tvois, to be able to harvest a lot of tvois. Kein oisim reshoim es agaivin nir bilvovo. Reshoim, because of the gaive, also plows. But the gaive plows in their hearts. It plows a furrow in their hearts. The zoyrim, why they're planting. You know what they're planting? They're planting negative traits, negative machshoves. These are the seeds. These are the seeds that the Rishoyim are planting in their character. Negative seeds. V'zorim boya machshoves arayis lahoylidu latzmiach haveris. And those negative machshoves, those evil machshoves, those bad machshoves, are going to produce actions. From the starts out with machshoves, but after that the machshoves turn into maisim. They translate into actions. Latzmiach it sprouts forth or haveris shehein pri machshovesam. That is the fruit. That is the toitzor. That is the result of their machshoves. And he showed Valderach HaMoshel, Shomer HaNovi, we find similarly the idea of bad traits, because he's giving, because the way he's explaining bad traits, he's giving the Moshel to a field, that peiris, tvua, grain sprouts forward, so to midois rois, bad actions, bad deeds sprout forth from the furrow, from the plowing, from the negative plowing. We find, he says, the Moshel to that also, that the Novi uses this kind of an analogy, planting, growing, but not growing tvua, not growing grain, but growing machshoves rois, planting machshoves rois, growing and harvesting bad deeds. We find the pasuk says in Hosea, Novi says uforach beroish mishpot. The pasuk says that the rishoyim through their evil judgment uporach, he says keroish, that they will sprout forth, right? It will sprout forth like in the furrow of the lamb. Again, there's an analogy of sprouting forth because the end of the pasuk is al tal mei sode. That's the end of that pasuk, which means again comparing that a person basically he is plowing his character, he is plowing his deeds, he is plowing the same way that you plow in a field. You are plowing yourself. You are cultivating yourself, and depending on what's going to grow out is how you're plowing, how you're preparing yourself. And gaive is the one that destroys. Gaive is the negative planting that's going to produce, he says, evil machshoves. And the evil machshoves are going to translate into evil deeds. Now, umash omar chatos. The posik added the word chatos. You realize again where he's going on. He's going on the posik. Start again. I want you to go back to the beginning of Chov Zayin, Sif Chov Zayin. Let's look again at the posik again to appreciate what the Shaar Tshuva is trying to explain. Again, in Chov Zayin, hagaivim, right, misabev is kama veris, so on. And where do we have the posik? He said, venemar. Look down a little bit. Rumei naim again. Rumei naim rechav lev. A person who has arrogance of eyes. He has a broad heart, a pride heart. A heart near rishoyim. We said that what? That this plows into the hearts of the rosh in negativity. And then it says the word chatos. Now what does the word chatos mean? So he says like this. The word chatos has two meanings. Number one, it means, he says, umasha omar chatos. When it says the word chatos, after the plowing, perish, near rishoyim, the rosha plows in his heart negativity. So mamela near chatos, he's actually, what he's doing is he's plowing sin, which means v'koil chatoim rabim. The word chatos means not one avere, but basically it means is rumei naim because of the gaive. He is planting and he is plowing sin, means all types of averes. The word chatos is not referring only to one type of avere. V'koil chatoim rabim. The word chatos means as a result of his gaive, is going to bring him to many, many averes. Where do we find the word chatos meaning many averes? Kemoiz is a posik in Yirmiyah. Chatas Yehuda. What's chatas Yehuda? The sins of Yehuda. The sins. So the word chatas means many sins. Here too, because of gaive, the ruim einayim, the rechav levav, so he's planting within himself chatos. He's planting sin within himself. That's one pshat. Another pshat, the word chatos, he says, or maybe the meaning of the word chatos means the chatos, the chesro involved. One should imagine it said with a vav. It's a separate word. The chatos. By the way, if there's a vav missing, so how do we understand it with a vav? How do we understand it with a vav? I'll bring you a raya. Kemoi. Supposing Chabakuk, it says shemesh yoreach. Translate the word shemesh yoreach. Sun, moon. What do you mean sun, moon? It means sun and the moon. It doesn't say the vav. But Ben Yoda points out here that we find many times that you have words, two words side by side. There's a vav missing, but nevertheless, the vav should be read in. Shemesh yareach means shemesh ve'yareach. Here too, going back to the pasuk, rumei na'im rechav lev nir reshoim ve'chatos. Now, what does it mean? What's the difference? What are we adding with the second pshat? It means as follows. First of all, the pasuk says, let's repeat again. Rumei na'im, a person who has arrogant eyes, rechav levov, and he has a proud heart. First thing is nir reshoim. He is doing planting. He's planting, he is plowing, a planting and a plowing of wickedness. Vechatos, besides what it's going to produce in the future, this is a sin in itself. Vechatos. In other words, Gaiva has two aspects of negativity to it. Besides the fact that it produces, it's a catalyst for all future Averis. There's no end. You open the door to many Averis. It's plowing a field to have all types of Averis coming out. But Vechatos, but besides what comes out in the future, it's a sin in its own right. And it's a sin. So besides the fact that what it's going to cause, the gaiva is within itself, it's already an avera. See what he says? Which means, vahatam, the kavon of the posuk is, that milvad, that besides ki hagave goy remes chatoim, besides the fact that gaiva causes sin, which that is expressed in the beginning of the posuk, near rishoim, you're plowing. Plowing means to produce in the future. You're going to produce averas in the future. But hamida atzmo chatos, vechatos. It's also a sin in its own right. Kama shenema, as the posuk says, Toyavas Hashem kol gevalev, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's an abomination by Hashem. By Hashem, it's an abomination, any arrogant heart. Toyavas Hashem kol gevalev, this is an abomination. Ubal hagaive, and a person with a bal gaive, I want you to know, nimsar biyad yitzroi. He has no control of his yitzhara. If you have no control of the yitzhara, then you're lost. Bal gaive, he says, nimsar biyad yitzroi. He's someone who is given over into the hands of his Yetzer Hara. Why? Ki ein ezer Hashem imoy, because Hashem is not there to help him. Why not? Because Hashem does not want to keep company with him. Achrei Hashem hu toyavas Hashem. You're an abomination. If you're an abomination, Hashem cannot stand next to you. Hashem is not ready to help you. In other words, the Gemara says in Kedushin Daf Lamed, that Yitzroi shalodo mischadei sholov b'chol yoyim. Yetzer Hara of a person finds new ways every day to attack the person. If you were able to be Mizgaber yesterday, he'll find new ways today. Yitzhar always finds new ways. He tries to find your weakness. And the Gemara says Yitzhar, therefore, is so cunning and is so smart. However, the good news is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to help you. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, Ilimola HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizroi, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not help you, Layocholoi. You have no way you succumb to Yitzhar. There's no way that you can overpower Yitzhar. You cannot stand against your Yitzhar on your own. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping you. So it's very clear that the only way to be able to overcome your natural instincts and inclinations and be able to curb your desires and all of the things, the temptations that the Yetzer Hara spurs you on, the only way to do that is through Ezer Hashem. But Gaiva removes the Ezer Hashem. And if Gaiva removes the Ezer Hashem, the help of Hashem, so merely you have to be lost. Because the Gemara clearly says, Ilamola Kodesh Baruch Hu Ozra Lo Yuchaloi. You would have no koyach against the Yetzer Hara. So that's what Rabbeinu Yehuda is saying in Shaar Tshuvah. That the Balgaiv is Nimtzer B'yad Yitzroi. Is given over into the hands of his Yetzer Hara. Because Ki Ein Ezer Hashem Imoy Achrei Hashem Toyavis Hashem. Because this is a Toyeva. Because now he becomes an abomination. If he becomes an abomination, somebody does not have the Ezer Hashem. The Imre Yosef of Spinke was pointed out, Rav Chaim Vital says, and something we mentioned a while back, that in fact, we know that the name of the Yetzer Hara is Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. That is his name. The Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. And Rabbi Chaim Vital tells us that Anova is Begimatria Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. What does it mean? It means to say as follows. It's a balance. It's either you have Anova. If you don't have Anova, then it's going to be Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. Then the Sotan is going to be right there. This is exactly the words that the Shaar Tshuvah is saying over here. If a person has Gaiva, then Yitzroi, right, then Nimsabiyad Yitzroi, clearly he's in the hands of his Yetzer Hara. He's Nimsabiyad Yitzroi. So what's the Yetzer to be able to avoid his Yetzer Hara? What's the Yetzer to be able to protect himself? He's the Hepech of Gaiva. He's Anova. Anova is Begimatria Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. Kuf Lamed Aleph, right? 131. That's exactly, that's Anova. Because it's either or. Either you can have Anova, and you're going to decide which it's going to be. These are the words, because without the Ezer Hashem, person would not have the koyach. So we find out here from Rabbi Yonah quite a number of things. We find out here that the Balgaiva we say here is Nimsa B'Yad Yitzroi, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not with him. Now, it's an interesting thing. Rabbi Yonah, in order, when he says these words, that the Balgaiva Hashem is not with him, he says, Achrei Yashe Hu Toyavas Hashem. Because Gaiva is Toyavas, is abomination. But there's something deeper there. There's something deeper there. And that is because the word Toyeva, when we say an abomination, there are a number of interpretations of how the word Toyeva is supposed to be interpreted. For example, if you take a look at one of the other Rishonim, the Chinuch. The Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Pei Ches, when he talks about the Isser, the Torah says, Lo Sikrivu Legaloi Serva. The Torah talks about the prohibition, of course, of getting involved with Arayas, immoral behavior. And the Torah refers to Arayas, the area of immorality. The area of immorality, the Torah refers to it as Toyeva. The areas, by the way, it's not limited to those areas. Not limited to those areas. For example, Gaiva is also Toyeva. Toyeva is Hashem called Gavalev. You have quite a few. You have quite a few Averis that, let's put it this way, that had the privilege to be called Toyeva, abomination. Every Avera is an Avera. Terrible Avera, there's no easy Avera, there's no light Avera. Every Avera is a serious Avera. But certain Averas have the title of Tayeva. Says the Chinuch. You know what Tayeva means? I'll quote you the Lashon of the Chinuch. The Chinuch says, when the Torah says many times, especially in the area of Arayas, Torah says, Loisasu mikola Tayevois. Sheyichloil, of course, kola Tayevois. Sheyichloil kol inyonim elu shem Tayavas Hashem. Torah tells us to refrain from doing anything that's Tayeva. Kloimer. When something is called Toyavas Hashem, what does it mean? Realize Toyavas Hashem. What's the word Hashem connected? It's Toyav, it's abomination. What does it mean? Hashem's abomination? How do you translate the words literally? Toyavas Hashem. It's Hashem's abomination. What does it mean? It's Hashem's abomination. You did an abomination. What's Toyavas Hashem? How do you connect the Hashem with the word Toyav? How does it connect? So the Chinuch says as follows. You know what Toyavas Hashem means? Toyavas Hashem means that if you do this, which is called Toyav, if you do a maise, whether it's erva or any of the other averis, that's labeled toyeva. Shaho oise oison misrachek min hatoyva umeiser me olov hashgochas Hashem baruchu. The Chinuch says one thing: every yid can survive because Hashem is supervising him. Hashem is protecting him. He's under the hashgoch of Hashem. And kozman we are under hashgochas Hashem. Hashem is mashgiach upon us. Of course, we have a chance, and that's how we can survive. The moment Hashem says, you know what, I'm removing my hashgacha from you, I'm removing my supervision, and I leave you alone to the elements, you're in serious danger. Toyavas Hashem means that if you do these actions, Toyavas Hashem, it means Hashem is going to remove himself from you, no hashgachas Hashem, now you're on your own. Now you're on your own. Go your own way. Try it without me. See how much success you're going to have. See what's going to happen. Toyavas Hashem means that the tiyuv, that the abomination means your merachik Hashem, said the Chinuch, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore will not protect you. So we always talk about toyeva, of course, meaning in our behavior, of course. This is a behavior, toyeva. But the Chinuch says toyeva means toyavas Hashem is a hanhoge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hanhoge because of toyeva. It's hanhoge because of toyeva that Hashem removes his hashgocha from the person. And by the way, a Balgaiva is also Bechlal Toyeva, which means Hashem removes his Hashgocha from him. And you can understand, especially by a Balgaiva, because a Balgaiva, he thinks Koichiv Yoisim Yodi. He thinks that whatever he achieves, whatever he accomplishes, is his own Koyach. So Hashem says, okay, do it on your own. You think that you're the success, you're the Sibir success, you're the root of your successes? You think that you're in power? That they think it's your Chochmah, it's your understanding, it's your wisdom? So you know what? I remove myself from you. I take away my Hashgocha. And let's see how far you can go without me. Toyavas Hashem. And the truth is, there are quite a number of Averis that the title of Toyeva is attached to it. Sheker also. Sheker also. Lying. If a person lies, don't speak the truth. It's also called a Toyeva. Which means, it becomes very frightening. You know why? Because now we find out that if you're involved with any of these Averis, and there's quite a few, it becomes, it's not just you did the Avera, but what you caused, Hashem removes his ashgacha from you. What chance can you have? We're putting ourselves into a matzav of danger without protection. A person many, many times throughout his days, a person many times he's davens. Let's say you're davening. Somehow you feel you're not achieving. Somehow you feel you're not achieving. Maybe it deserves a little bit of soul searching within ourselves. Maybe we're not achieving with our tefillah, besides the fact maybe you're not davening with the kavona. That's another issue. But assuming that you did daven with kavona, and somehow you feel that Hashem is not answering you, maybe it's because you have in your record, in your file, one of those averas that are called toyeva. By the way, Matasio Solomon once made that point in one of the Vav on Shari Tshuva. And maybe you have in your file one of those avera called avera, which are called toyeva, which means Hashem removed his ashgacha from you. That's why he's not answering you. Hashem said, listen, my door is closed to you. I have nothing to do with you. You're on your own. Go with it. Toyeva. That's really the words of Rabbeinu Yoine. That nimsar b'yad Yitzroy, you are now in the hands of Yitzhar because Hashem is not there to help you. Because it's Tayavas Hashem. It's interesting. Tayavas Hashem is also emphasizing the words Tayavas Hashem. Very interesting. On the lines of the Chinuch also used the words Tayavas Hashem, that Hashem removes himself from you. Hashem removes himself from you. So these are the nekudas that we find out over here. These are the important aspects of a person, of how a person, of course, deals with everything. If we talk about, of course, with the inyan of Rabbi Yoyne telling us again of the importance of the hachnoa, of how a person is supposed to be machnea himself, what comes to mind is something very interesting. When we talk about hachnoa, we find that the Gemara tells us two people are noted, especially stand out, outstanding people regarding the midah of hachnoa. One of the people that are very outstanding regarding the midah of hachnoa, we find is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu said, "Vanoichi ofra v'yefer." Avraham Avinu says, "Vanoichi ofra v'yefer." Clearly, Avraham Avinu expresses anivus. Moshe Rabbeinu, we find, says the lashon, "V'nachnu mo," we are nothing. V'nachnu mo, we are nothing. So the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Pei Tes, the Gemara says, "Godol ma'ashenemra b'Moshe, ma'ashenemra b'Avraham." That it is more, we find, that which is said by Moshe Rabbeinu than in fact that is said by Avraham Avinu. Because why? Avraham Avinu said, "Vanoichi ofra v'efer." Now it's very nice, "Vanoichi ofra v'efer," but ofra v'efer, dust and ashes, is something. It's very little, but it's still something. There is substance. Ofra is ofra and efer. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'nachnu mo," we are nothing. Absolutely nothing. Would seem that it's quite petty, maybe, to make such a big deal between Vanoichi saying "Vanoichi ofra v'efer" or saying "V'nachnu mo." When Avraham Avinu said "Vanoichi ofra v'efer," you can be sure he meant "I really am nothing." He didn't mean to say "I am something." I mean, at least like ofra v'efer. But yet the Gemara is picking up on it. The Gemara is saying Avraham Avinu said "Vanoichi ofra v'efer," and Moshe Rabbeinu said "V'nachnu mo." So that is a greater madrege. Why is "V'nachnu mo"? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu's madrege? In which nekud is it really greater than Avraham Avinu? Talking about hachnoa, talking about anivus. So Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz, really, which, by the way, this pshat was mentioned by Rav Meir Shapiro, the Lublin Rov, there's a sefer called Nitzutzei Oir HaMeir, which are basically the Blitzen, or the very interesting thoughts, you know, sharp thoughts of Rav Meir Shapiro. So he said that the great Goyim, Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz, once on an Erev Yom Kippur, found himself away from his hometown. And Erev Yom Kippur, of course, is Erev Yom Kippur. You know, Im Leach Shavei Masai, really time to do tshuva, especially when it comes to the mincha of Erev Yom Kippur, the long mincha with the vidui. Rabbi Yonatan did not make himself known to who he is. He was in this strange town. Fate had it that he happened to end up in a distant town, which was not his hometown. So he was trying to find a proper seat in the Beis Medrash to daven next to someone who really davens with kavona, davens with an erlichkeit, really who is committed to tefillah, the way one should really daven an Erev Yom Kippur. And he looks around the Beis Medrash and he sees somebody who seems to be very dovuk. He seems to be very much into his davening. And so Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz decides, you know what, I'm going to stand next to that person. I'm going to daven next to him. Kahavi sits next to that person and he sees how that yid, really he cries. He shoifer demois. He really puts his heart into the davening. His marzer is wet from tears. Yid who davens with great kavana, and he hears that in the Shemoneh Esra there of Yom Kippur, you might remember it comes to the posik, Ofer ani bechayoi, kal v'chomer b'misosi, and that Yid was sort of like repeating it to himself, Ofer ani bechayoi, he says, I am a shtick offer, he says, what am I? I'm only dust, he says, well, I'm alive. And he kept repeating it, Ofer ani bechayoi, I am nothing, Ofer ani bechayoi, and certainly b'misosi, after I'm gone, certainly I turn to dust, what am I? Ofer ani bechayoi, kal v'chomer b'misosi. And the Rabbi Yosef was very impressed to see how this Yid, his midos, his character, his achno, his humility. And certainly, this is the way it was. Throughout the night, after the tefillah Leil Kol Nidre, the Yid also davened with the same brand, with the same Mislahavis. The next day on Yom Kippur, the Gabbai called up that Yid for Ravi. He became very upset. He started yelling at the Gabbai. And he said, you gave Shlishi, says, to a nobody. He says, and me, you're giving a Ravi. Very upset. And Rabbi Yosef just couldn't understand it. He figured he has to go over to that Yid. And he goes over to that Yid and he says to him, tell me, he says, yesterday I was standing next to you and you were saying, with kavona, you were repeating, you were saying, Ofrani bechayoi, I'm only dust in my lifetime, I'm only dust, I'm only offer. Then how is it all of a sudden you're such desirous of such covet that you got so upset of the Aliyah? So he said, you don't understand. Yesterday I said, Ofrani bechayoi was talking to the Rabbeinu Shloim. Legabe him, I'm nothing. But legabe him, I'm a lot. He says, Legabe the Rabbeinu Shloim, standing with a mouth and talking to Hashem. Of course, Ofrani bechayoi, legabe the Rabbeinu Shloim, melech gunesh, I am nothing. But comparing me to this Yid, I'm more than him. I'm a lot, he says, compared to him. So Rav Meir Shapiro said, going back, this is what the Gemara makes the distinction. Chazoshon, Avraham Avinu, it's not that Yid. But what he said is this, Avraham Avinu said, V'noichi offer vefer, he was talking to Hashem. He's talking to Hashem, he wants to be mispal on behalf of Sadoim. And Avraham Avinu is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what am I? V'noichi offer vefer. It's gewaldig words, V'noichi offer vefer. But who is he saying it to? We're saying between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm V'noichi offer vefer. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he says, V'nachnu mo, he was saying it to the aid of Koirich. He was talking that to other people. And among other people, he was saying, I am nothing. That's a much greater midah of anivis. To be a nono of comparing yourself and standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is one level of anivis. But to say v'nachnu mo, Moshe Rabbeinu said nachnu mo, that was talking to other people. As a matter of fact, the Pasuk emphasizes, v'ish Moshe on the Moed, mikol Adam. Ashal p'nei Adam. What does it mean, mikol Adam? It means not only standing in front of Hashem and recognizing my nothingness, you know, and how little we are, and how helpless we are standing in front of Hashem, but to really to understand even with Shmoisha and Amyod Mikolom, that is the Madrege. Al-Kaponim, this is what the Shaar Tshuva is advocating. The Baal Tshuva, everybody, of course, has to be kind of the midah of Anivis, but especially the Baal Tshuva, it's imperative. Ms. Hashem was going to see, the next year, by the way, next year again, we're going to do it, Slag Boimer. It's the time of Chasanis, and so again, we're going to have to meet again the week after, and Ms. Hashem will continue again. Call to it.